is episode 31 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Steve Neal's book, But Something Is There. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such fascinating information that never makes it into the podcast. And here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record the extract from the book, and the author kindly said yes. And so if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. So I'm going to start by reading a bit from chapter 5, which is called More Bumps in the Night, and this is what Steve has written. Shortly after we moved to the new place, I had another experience. I was lying in my bed trying to sleep, and I had this nagging urge that something was wrong or about to happen. I was sleeping with one eye open, as they would say, but soon I drifted off. I felt a motion of weightlessness. Then I felt cool and the temperature dropped. I opened my eyes and to my amazement I was outside looking straight up at the foggy sky and I was approaching the fog. I panicked and could only move my head. I looked down to see my street, the cars parked on it and the street lights. Then it hit me. I could see my bike. I'd left it outside and was so worried someone would take it. I thought maybe I might be having a flying dream. I had plenty of them, but I could always control my flight and I had no ability to do now. I couldn't move much at all, and I was going higher and higher every second. As I passed through the fog, I felt a presence next to me, and as I looked over, I could see one of the beings. She told me, "Don't be afraid." She pointed up, and as I looked up, I could see the stars and something round and dark in the middle of them. I saw a disc-shaped black hole. As we grew closer, I could see light or some type of reflection occurring on its rim. I can only describe it as some kind of door opening in the middle of the blank disc. I could tell because it was backlit by soft amber light. A beam of soft blue light emerged and it fell on us, lighting the way. As we approached closer, I could see other beings near the opening and a soft warm amber light came from inside. The object close up was just black, lacking light altogether. As we passed through the opening or door, we entered a hallway. There were arched ceilings and walls that slanted a bit. I had seen all this before. I had no idea where I was, a building, some kind of craft. My feeling was that this was another place or structure, not a craft. As we moved down the hallway, I was aware of doorways to the right and left of me, and inside there were rooms. I could just glimpse inside, and I could see more beings and people lying on their backs on metal tables. It was quiet, very little sound, and the temperature was cool. They took me into one of their rooms and sat me on a table. The table felt cool and the beings were buzzing around attending to other people there. Most were not clothed, some in night clothes, others in daily wear. It was hard to get a good look at them because the beings kept me distracted, always having my attention and telling me that they wouldn't hurt me. They laid me down, and as I lay there, I was well aware I couldn't move freely. I wasn't really afraid. It was as if this was a routine and it made sense somehow. The ceiling had a curve to it and overhead lights. There were beams running across the ceiling that were also present in the hallways. There was some kind of equipment too that had cables with instruments hanging from the ceiling and against the walls, panels with colored lights. As I lay there, two of the beings came to either side of me. They told me again not to be afraid. Suddenly, a much taller being came into view and towered over me. It looked different from the smaller creatures. The face was a bit more human, and a large bald head, pointed chin and large eyes that were so dark that were nearly black. I could just get the sense that there was an iris and a pupil because I could see movement as if behind sunglasses. The skin colour was closer to a flesh colour and not so grey as the smaller ones. It leaned over me, came in so close to my face it was starting to get uncomfortable. It stopped coming closer, and then I heard a voice in my head. "You are different from the others, special. You are not like them. The voice was distinctly female, soft, breathless and calming. She seemed familiar, and I felt an emotion towards her. This hadn't been the first time we had met. Although I really didn't know what she meant, I did feel it. This was apparent the first day in grammar school when I looked around the classroom and felt there had been some kind of a mistake. I wasn't supposed to be here. Just being on planet Earth felt wrong, as though I had come from somewhere else. This world just seemed backwards to me as a child, less technologically advanced, even primitive. I never understood how one could feel this way if we were to believe what science had taught us. I surely must be crazy. But was I? She placed a hand on my forehead and I felt warmth from her touch. My mind filled with a montage of imagery. I saw planets, space, and even other worlds with civilizations far more advanced than ours. It was as though I was connected to her and sharing her memories and experiences. It was literally being downloaded to my mind. She smiled and I closed my eyes and slipped into a sleep, only to wake up the next morning in my bed, as though it never happened. At this age, I knew it could have been just a dream, but I also knew I dreamed it before. Each time it was different, but the same beings and places. It felt real, and these weren't dreams, I forgot. I knew something special was happening to me. I also knew how I could be perceived if I dare speak of it, so I didn't. I kept it to myself. My world was different. I walked in a different, maybe even a more honest, perception of reality than most of the inhabitants of this planet. Was this what she meant? Then I remembered my bike. I got out of bed, looked out the window and down the street where I had left it. It was gone. I was very upset about the bike. Mum berated me for being so careless. She never gave me another bike. I had to buy my own. Okay, so now I'm going to move on and read from part of chapter 6. This is called Night School. This is what Steve has written here. Another memory I have is a strange one, to be sure. As I learned more about my experience in later days, I found out it wasn't unique to me alone. For as long as I thought it was a dream, or more to the point, I was hoping it was all a dream, and to be honest, this was more frightening than the experience with the beings. Late at night, I'd be awakened and told to go with these men. They looked much like the G-men. They would rush me off to a car parked outside and take me to my grammar school, only a mile or so away from our flat. When we arrived, the school was dark and creepy. There were other sedans parked outside. I could see other kids being ushered into the school by these G-men types in suits with brimmed hats. Most of them were in nightclothes and robes as I was. Inside the school, we were taken into the main hallways and told to stand in line. They had flashlights, and there were some dim lights inside some of the rooms. I could just see this through open doors. There were adults in lab coats moving about, in and out of the rooms. We were all told to remove our clothes. This I did not like, standing there with all these other naked boys. If there were girls, they must have been in another part of the school. The treatment was cold. The adults were cold, and although I couldn't be sure, it seemed as though most of the kids were not fully with it. I felt drugged. But I wasn't. Again, I was treated differently, and I don't know why. We were eventually, one by one, brought into a room and examined. The examination was pretty routine stuff. Open your mouth and say ah. They took our blood pressure, and there were other, unpleasant procedures. Then they did something really disturbing. We were given this shot in the arm, but it was in the part of the arm where the lower limb and upper met on the inside. I remember it burning really bad, and they left the needle in for a long time before removing it. After all this, we were told to put our clothes back on, go back into the hallway, and stand in line. Okay, so this week I was reading from Steve Neal's book, But Something Is There. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $5 a month, you get an extended episode every week. And for $2 a month, you get an extended episode every month. And if you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.